Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your ZFS preview for this week's CJ Cup Byron Nelson. Very fun and exciting new name. Joining me, also very fun and exciting, is Patrick McDonald filling in for Greg today. Patrick, you are a team player. Thank you.
Rick, what's going on? I mean, anytime you can combine a legend of the game with a South Korean conglomerate, you have my full attention. I'm very excited to get into the CJ Cup Byron Nelson.
Opportunities like this do not present themselves every day, so you've got to take advantage when they do pop up.
That's correct. Despite the late pricing drop, despite everything, we will get through it. We'll get through this together and talk a little golf.
We will. Before we get into golf, let's talk a little. How's your Monday going? How's your day going?
Monday's going really well. Got a lot done, really productive. Going to start getting into probably some PGA content here this week and leading into next to try to get ahead. Yeah, only 2 weeks.
I know.
It kind of snuck up.
Do you see what's on TV right now?
What TV? Like in general?
Well.
Like what channel?
I the golf channel.
I'm going to guess the 2014 PGA Championship.
No, 20 tickets are going to be punched through the PGA Professional Championship.
Dang.
That's on.
Okay. So my pro from back home, he's been in it a few times, handful of times. He always plays with Brooks in practice rounds, which is pretty cool because he's good buddies with Ricky Elliott.
That's cool. How Blocky got in last year, and then it has taken off since then, obviously.
Yeah, I guess. How much do you think they're going to push Blocky this year?
1,000,000%.
Yeah.
You're going to see the highlights, especially because now things have cooled off, but like, I don't think you're going to see a ton. I mean, you'll see the Brooks Koepka stuff, but you're going to see Blocky. You're going to hear that he tied the course record when he was practicing out there a couple of months ago. They're going to have all these pre-produced, you know, segments of how his life has changed and all the stuff that he's been up to. It is going to be just like, he's probably going to be in a featured group. It's going to be nuts.
I actually heard that he's going to be one of the jockeys in the Kentucky Derby the week prior.
If only he could run like Seabiscuit, you know?
Yeah. Some would say that he can.
I think he can. I think he can. Well, the Seabiscuit of TPC Craig Ranch is one K.H. Lee. We'll talk about him in just a little bit. But let's talk about this golf course here, Patrick. And Troy, if you want to share my screen, we'll show my website, rickrungood.com. This is TPC Craig Ranch. This is a golf course that we've played at 3 times, and it has yielded plenty of birdies along the way.
Yeah, pretty wide open. Not too long, not too peeing off the tee. Large greens, a high green regulation percentage. Rick, I think it almost touches like 70%. So when you think about that, you think about, okay, let's look into some of the proximity numbers. And like you said, lots and lots of birdies. I think the last 3 years, it's been mid-20 under par, like 25-ish under par. I wouldn't be surprised if they get closer, you know, to that number, maybe even 30, depending on the wind. I haven't checked the weather, unfortunately. I don't know if the wind's going to be up, but it is Texas. So I guess you could assume so at certain stages, but tons of birdies out there. Really need to have everything firing, you know, off the tee. Don't need to be too accurate. Long certainly helps, but it isn't required. Looking at someone like Cage Lee, he's not the longest player in the world. Iron play has to be great, and you got to putt. You have to putt this week. There's no second guessing that.
Yeah, you got to putt because you got to score, and that's how you generally score, at least one of the ways to get there. I love the difference between the par fives and the par threes here. So it is a 71, so there's only three par fives. So the par fives are just unbelievably easy. You have to get them. If you're not making birdie on every other par five, you are losing ground to the field. But then the par threes are long boys. Three of the four are over 200 yards. Par would be a good score often there. So it is a fun little setup from that side of things.
Yeah, and it's a good finish too, where 17 is kind of the short one. They try to make a little bit of an arena there. I think they have a Tito's Vodka Lounge this year. And we've seen people like Spieth. I mean, spin one off the front of the green when they have one of those pin locations in the front left bowl when he was trying to chase down Cage Lee a couple years back. And so it is an exciting finish with the drivable 14th as well, the par four. I know we're talking par threes, but you throw that one in, you throw in the two par threes, and then you throw in the par five finisher and 16, somewhat difficult too. It's a fun, exciting finishing stretch.
Yeah, that's true. There are two pretty short par fours. Yeah, it'll get knocked a lot on golf Twitter because the winning score will be like 30 under par. But I think that, as I remind people, par is just a social construct. If you made the ninth hole a par four, I think people would be a lot more excited about TPC Craig Ranch.
Yeah. And they were where? Trinity Forest
before? Trinity. I always want to call it Trinity Hills, but I think you're right. Trinity Forest.
Now was that just 1 year? Aaron Wise.
I guess I could look it up. You think Aaron Wise won that? Did he win it?
He definitely won, because that's when on the 72nd hole, his girlfriend didn't kiss him. It was very awkward.
Oh, that's right. Yep. That was a tough scene. Yeah. So they were at, let's see here, Trinity Forest.
Mm. And then what was the golf course where, like, Jordan Spieth made his debut, Jason Day won at?
Was that Las Colinas or was that before?
You could be right. I have zero idea, but it was the host for a good while. With the water on the left, the 18, 17 was a par three down the hill, I think.
Gosh, why am I like blanking on that?
You know what I'm talking about, though?
I do know what you're talking about.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll continue to look into this. And what we'll do next is we will jump into this player pool and we will discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
It only takes 2 minutes of sheer horror.
A new Paramount Plus original docuseries.
We were dealing with a serial killer preying on elderly women.
A cold-blooded killer hidden in plain sight.
He was suffocating people with pillows.
Leaving corpses all over Texas.
How did it happen?
I was responsible for her. The guilt is immeasurable. They covered it up.
Pillowcase Murders, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus.
And we're back, Patrick. This is the cheat sheet, and there are three golfers over $10,000 on DraftKings this week. They are Jordan Spieth. He is $10,900. Jason Day is $10,400. And then we round it out with Will Zalatoris at an even $10,000. When you look at the top of this board, what do you see?
I hate them all. Hate them all, Rick. I think I'm out on Will Zalatoris because of the putter. We talk about the broomstick and how great it was to begin the year. Oh my goodness, he looks so comfortable on the greens. He's fantastic. And now we're looking at rickrungood.com. And ooh-wee, that is stinky over the last couple of months, losing a ton on the greens. And you got to putt. His ball striking can be great, but I have concerns about Will Zalatoris in an event where you might have to get to 25 under.
12 strokes to the red with the putter alone over his last four starts. That was after, you know, starting off 2024 looking like he might have found something after coming back from a long time off. Okay, well, I can't get you to buy in on Zalatoris. Could I offer you some Jordan Spieth?
If I had to, of the three, okay, I would get it. I'd go into Spieth. He is the one who they all have question marks, obviously. Jordan Spieth, probably the biggest of the bunch, given that Jason Day is the defending champion and hasn't been that bad. But Spieth, you throw in the Texas ties, home game models. He's played great here. It's a great golf course for him. You think wide open off the tee, big greens. The putter, as you can see, has been pretty solid. He has that runner up in the T9 to his name, and you start kind of doing the mental gymnastics and you think, okay, if the wrist holds up, he flashed some pretty, he had his moments at the RBC Heritage, even though it wasn't a fantastic result. And yeah, I think I could buy into Jordan Spieth this week.
Boy.
Mental gymnastics is certainly what it would take, you know, losing strokes on approach in four of his last five, the short games still a little bit worrisome. I think I'm closer to your original point of I hate them all than I am on anything else. Just to put a bow on the third man here is Jason Day. Although I have to point out, I mean, the form leading into last year's victory was significantly better. Just, you know, very good tee to green play. The putter had turned around. That's not really what we're seeing. We're seeing a reliance on the flat stick and the short game in general. We're seeing him lose a ton of strokes on approach. He's not driving it particularly great. I think this whole 10K range is leaving a lot to be desired.
Yeah, totally agree. Jason Day, like you said, the scoring clubs are not doing the job. And he'll only be able to stay afloat for so long in a birdie fest with the short game. And so I'm with you. I'd pass up all three and kind of start with the high nines.
Okay. Well, I think that is going to be a pretty interesting strategy for this week. And there might be a lot of people who try to build their lineups that way because the 9K range is pretty interesting. So it starts with Siwoo Kim, Sung Jae-im, and Adam Scott. The middle will get you Alex Noren and Minwoo Lee. And then the bottom of that 9K range is Benny On, Steven Yeager, Tom Hoagie, and Tom Kim. So, Patrick, if we are skipping the 10K and we're focusing here on the 9K range, who in the 9K range are we focusing on?
Come on. It's got to be Siwoo Kim. He's going to be mega popular, like ultra chalk most likely. And honestly, chalk Siwoo Kim is a very tough pill to swallow.
What could possibly go wrong?
It never goes as planned. But his tee to green game so far this year has been stellar. I mean, over the last 3 months, he leads the field. He's number one in driving accuracy as well. He's not going to get himself into a ton of trouble. But same concerns I had for Will Zalatoris. You do kind of have to have him with Siwoo Kim just because it seems like every week he trots onto a golf course, he has a different putter in hand.
Yes. I was going to say, have you Getty imaged him yet? Have you Getty imaged Siwoo recently?
I have not.
Neither have I. But every time I do, he's using a different putter.
I believe last I checked, he had a conventional putter, a blade putter.
The last official Getty image photo of him with a putter is round three in Hilton Head. So he would have played one round after that. He was going conventional blade left hand low.
Okay. That's what I had in my head. So that's good to know. But the good news in three starts, finished T2 here last year. Jason Day made birdie on the 72nd hole, beat Siwoo Kim by one. I only remember because I had money on Siwoo Kim is... Not bitter about it at all. He has gained in two out of his three appearances. So maybe there's something here. He's a Dallas boy. Maybe it's the grass type. Maybe it's the environment, whatever it may be. But he's adequate on these greens. And if he's adequate, slightly above average, Siwoo Kim, I think, will be a great play.
My quick
ownership percentage also.
My quick search shows a conventional putter at Harbortown, broomstick at the Masters, conventional putter at the Players.
So broomstick this week.
So broomstick this week. Here is something, Patrick, and I'm not sure how many people are going to be aware of this. Sung J.M. won last week. Now, that event was on the KPGA, the Korean PGA, and I don't know how to weight that, but can a little bit of a confidence booster for Sung J.M., getting a trophy, getting something to put on the mantle, does that move any needles for you?
It doesn't.
Okay.
I'm sorry. He did something similar last year.
Yeah, he did.
He did it the week before the PGA Championship, I believe.
Yeah.
And this was during a stretch where he was playing really good golf already. Mm-hmm. And he came back from that trip and just had like a horrible start to his summer.
Yeah, it was T7, 6th, T8. He went to Korea, he won, and then everybody was like, here we go. It's going to happen. Sungjae is going to win the PGA Championship. Missed the cut to Charles Schwab and kind of kicked off this little slump that he's in.
Yeah, it kind of just seems like a lot for a four-week stretch to go major championship, signature event, go to South Korea, and come back and play this event. So because of that, I'm probably out. Even though, I mean, that iron play kind of took a step at Harbortown, not really. It wasn't like super Sung J.M.-esque. It got a little bit better. But I still have my concerns about him, unfortunately.
That's fair. I'm here for Alex Noren, who has just been piling up really good results across a bunch of golf courses that have nothing in common, right? Punta Cana, Texas Open, Houston Open, Players, Cognizant, top 25s in all of them, all over the world, all different regions. It doesn't matter. Alex Noren shows up and plays well. I'm here for that.
Yeah, playing really good golf, former top 10 player in the world, Alex Noren.
Sure.
And he's played well here before as well, if I recall correctly. 2022, T12, yep. And a T21. So yes. More than comfortable here, and we know what he can do short game-wise. He's fantastic, but this year the iron play has taken such a significant step, it seems like, and really – it's kind of crazy to think for Alex Noren, he doesn't really have like a flaw right now. Like everything's working throughout the bag.
Yeah, I just worry a little bit about maybe his ability to go deep enough. When I think Alex Noren, I think like this, you know, T9 at Cognizant on a hard golf course, T11 at Memorial Park, which can beat guys up, right? Like I like him in some more difficult setups where you're only going to have to gain 12 strokes to the field to win, not like 18 and win a birdie fest. That's my biggest reserve about this.
Yeah, that's probably fair. Falls in line with the Will Zalatoris theory.
Yeah, exactly. The bottom of this 9K range is pretty interesting as well. Steven Yeager, just a couple of starts removed from a victory. Tom Hoagie and partner Maverick McNealy missed the cut last week. But other than that, Hoagie's been a statistical darling. And then Tom Kim sits at the 9K range or 9K flat all by himself. And, you know, that is a little bit surprising for a guy who at times has caught a lot of steam of the industry, but Tom Kim has not really played up to some expectations this year.
I think he'll be popular this week. Okay. And I think Hoagie will as well. Both of those guys. But Tom Kim, he came off that final round 66 at Augusta National, had a decent start at the Harbortown, where the iron play was much better for the second straight tournament. And then you bring him to a birdie fest, and Tom Kim, all of his wins have been kind of birdie fest, right? Wyndham Championship, his first win was past 20 under, both the Shriners wins. I mean, you got to go deep in the desert for that one as well. Yeah. And home game models, Dallas's son, Tom Kim. I like the feature that you have the home, or the residences there. I didn't notice that before.
Yeah, so that does confuse some people. I have to make that. I have to make a better distinction. So I've got the flag for nationality, but this is technically the residence, Dallas, Texas. So this threw somebody off when they were like, Adam Scott isn't born in Switzerland or wherever he resides in now. And I'm like, yeah, well, it's like his listed residence.
He lives in Switzerland?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Well, at least that's what his PGA Tour, like, you know, his official plays out of. Let's see. Yeah. Switzerland.
Oh, my God. The coolest guy on the PGA Tour just got cooler.
I know.
He could have a good week this week, by the way.
I think so, too. Also, I think Tom Kim, that looks like a new headshot. He looks like he's thinning out a little bit.
It does. Yeah, he looks pretty sharp. Yeah, he looks good.
It's like a brand new headshot.
Huh. Okay. All right, Tom.
Okay, Tom. Now, that will allow us to move into the 8K range, which has twice champion KH Lee, amongst others. We are going to dive into those guys. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2. Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to Paramount Plus to try it free. Terms apply.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
And we're back. Patrick, is this your DFS show debut?
You know, I've hosted before, Rick.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I've never been the co-pilot. I've driven the ship, so to speak.
Okay. You're doing a great job.
You know, I dabble. I've no big wins, but I'm a single entry guy. So,
love that.
Yeah. Super easy. Couple lineups. Don't Fire go crazy. Away. Yeah.
The 8K range starts with Keith Mitchell, Thomas Dietrich, Matt Hughes. In the middle, you can get Adam Schenck, Patrick Rogers, KH Lee. The bottom of it, McNealy, Hubbard, Aaron Rye, and Jake Knapp. This feels a little bit different from that 9K range, Patrick, that I think people are going to be very excited about playing a lot of those guys. We might have to be a little bit more selective here.
Yeah, and I hate to backtrack, but Steven Yeager's probably going to win this golf tournament at 9,200. But for this 8K, if we want to go... Or yeah. We can go back.
Wherever you want to go. Okay.
We'll go 8K. Let's just go down this list. Keith Mitchell, out.
Really?
Ball striking's fantastic. I get it. He has all the firepower in the world. He's top 10 both off the tee and on approach. The putter, man, is so bad.
Can't
putt. It is really bad. I just Mitchell, can't get to him.
Out.
Thomas Dietrich, no thanks. Don't want him. I think he'll be kind of popular.
Okay.
And I don't like a popular Thomas Dietrich. So the nuts play in the 8K range. Adam Schenck, I think, is a great play. I think he'll be kind of popular too. KH Lee, thinking about it, but the nuts play, ladies and gentlemen, is Mackenzie Hughes. He is the guy this week, in my humble opinion. Hughes is good. He's going to win you thousands and thousands of dollars.
Give us the sell here. I guess you just did. So he finished T39 at the RBC Heritage. He played well in Houston. That was a T14, and even better at the Valspar, where it was a T3. He has not missed a cut since the Mexico Open, which is honestly probably the worst golf course on planet Earth for him. He shouldn't even be going there. And then before that, his last missed cut was the Sanderson Farms in October. So Patrick, when you see this profile, when you start looking into Mackenzie Hughes, what gets you most excited?
Magic beans. He can putt the living crap out of the golf ball. T14 in this tournament last year, where he lost almost 2.5 strokes on approach, mind you. The iron play has gotten better. Heritage iron play is always kind of wonky. It's a weird golf course, so I'm going to give him a pass on that. Outside of that, he's gained in 4 in a row. So you got the iron play. He's added plenty of distance. You got the putter. and you got a Mackenzie Hughes who is going to threaten the leaderboard this week.
Okay. So I generally agree with you. I'm also going to give you one little nugget because sometimes all you need is one. Mm-hmm. Okay. Uh-oh. So this is pretty rare that a golf course has all of its par fives that play as easy as these do. When you look at all the players in this field and how they play on easy par fives, so par fives that play to a 4.6 or easier.
Uh-oh.
It's all bombers, big hitters, and Mackenzie Hughes.
Who's okay.
Yeah, no, it's a good one. Don't be worried. It's a good
okay. Let's go.
I assume that is because he gets it up and around the green in two, and then he just gets up and down frequently.
That would make sense.
That's my hunch on why he is amongst the bombers of the par five scores.
Let's go. Let's go. Okay. Oh, Canada. We want to go others in this range.
Yeah, I want to pick your brain on KH Lee because he is twice a winner at this event. He's going to get clicks whether they are warranted or not. So I'm asking, are they warranted?
Oh, gosh, he hasn't been great this year. A lot of missed cuts, but when he has flashed, it's been quality. Mm-hmm. T4. PGA National, T10, Valspar, T11 last week, alongside Twitter sensation Michael Kim. You throw in the Mark nugget from Sunday show saying he's striping it on the range. That's always good information that my brain needs. And
it on the range.
Okay, Julie is striping it. All right, say no more. Yeah, I think I would just pass, I think, for me personally. When it comes to these guys, I'm much more current form than what they've done at a golf course.
I just think that whatever ownership he should be, he's going to be higher than that. And you just have to fade like one of the three times a year he snaps off and finishes inside the top 10 and he's already done it twice.
Yeah,
so I think he's got like one more this year. I think I'll survive if I don't have any KH Lee.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. What do you think about Mark Hubbard?
So there's like two things statistically and like the eye test. The eye test was not good at Zurich.
Yeah.
He's a pretty good putter, or at least has been at times. Those were some of the weakest putts I've ever seen a professional hit. No offense, Mark, you're great. Love you. But like, it was ugly on the weekend for Hubs.
Really bad. Where they mentioned on the broadcast that Ryan Brehm was like giving him pump up speeches. Like he had his arm around him, like trying to get him ready to hit a 10 footer. And that just would not sniff the hole.
That's rock bottom when Ryan Brehm is pumping you up in a golf tournament.
But he's
having a very good year. And the thing with him is it's crazy, right? So he does this thing where from one week to another, he'll lose five strokes on approach and gain eight. He'll gain four strokes with the putter and lose six the next week. I guess if he was more consistent, he would be like a top 18 player in the world because he does have he is capable of gaining eight strokes on approach or gaining five putting. It's just rare that he puts it all together.
Yeah. So I don't know. He's interesting this week. That's all I can really say about him. I think it's
good, not great, but I also do think that there's around the guy, like this AK range is pretty sparse in general. So if you wanted to go to Hubbard, I would not be upset about that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people might try Jake Knapp out for size, and Bad News Guys also out on him.
I've gotten Jake Knapp correct one time. It was
Farmers.
Yes.
Early.
I was early on Knapp, and then I was like, there is no way he plays well in Mexico. wins it. Then I was like, well, he definitely can't do that again at Honda with all that water there. Fourth. Mm-hmm. Then I'm like, okay, well, maybe he's actually the real deal. And now he's going to Bomb and Gouge Bay Hill. Miserable. Like I was early and I'm like 0-11 since.
Yeah, I think we're gonna continue the downward trajectory since the start of the Florida swing, since PGA National. It just iron play's been all right, but outside of that, it's been pretty ugly. So I'm out on that, but I understand the course fit there for him.
Too much red on that profile for me. One of the guys that I do like sits atop the 7K range. Actually, both those guys atop the 7K range are fine. Those are Davis Thompson and Seamus Power. I'm going to fight off this sneeze professionally, Patrick. The middle of the 7K range gets you Peter Quest, Kevin Yu, Sam Stevens. The bottom of the 7K range, oh boy, gets you Parker Cootie, JJ Spahn, Jacob Bridgman. How would you like to spend your money here?
7K range, I have a couple guys. One of them I play religiously. I met him out in Scottsdale, actually, at a little Peter Millar pop-up shop. Great guy. Nice. Knows my uncle. Grayson Sigg. I play too much, too often. He played well in Corrales. Mm-hmm. He kind of flashed there alongside Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket Chesson Hadley.
Sure.
At the Zurich Classic. He's what, 7,400 this week? So he's coming off back-to-back top 10 finishes. And his iron play is usually pretty reliable. He's accurate off the tee. He's one of those guys who really he can't make a lot of putts, which is unfortunate. So
yeah. But there's a lot of those guys in this range. There's a lot of guys that cannot make putts in this range. Enter, you know, Luke List, enter Seamus Power, enter Kevin Yu. I actually do want to pull up Seamus Power's profile because it feels like he has been better recently. And I want to see if that's actually, Seamus starting to round into form here a little bit ever since Pebble Beach. He's got a couple of top 30s in there, T12 at Harbortown, more green on the stat profile. Seamus slumped for a very, very long time. He looks like he's back ready to rock. Who else in this 7K range tickles your fancy?
C, T, Pan.
The bread man.
The bronze medalist from many moons ago.
Just a couple more months to be the reigning bronze medalist.
Had a third place in Mexico. That really isn't a great fit for him, you would think, on paper. The iron play was great at the Players' Championship and the Texas Open. Consistent. He's made, what, seven cuts in a row, top five finisher here last year as well. And so add all that up together and I'm buying all the CT pan this week.
Okay. Buying all the bread. I mentioned Davis Thompson. I'm in on Peter Quest, hits it a mile. He's got a 10th at the Texas Open, a 9th in Punta Cana, did not play the Zurich Classic, and then a 14th here last year. The bottom of the 7K range, Patrick, you know, I'm just going back to my guys. Matty Schmid is one of my guys. He's $7,200. I'm probably avoiding any cootie for a while. Like, they have the cooties. That's Parker in this situation. Thank you. But I'm not too stoked about the bottom of the 7K range.
What about your guy, Andrew Novak, getting back in?
I do like Novak a lot, but I mean, both those guys, Novak and Davis Thompson, I was a little disappointed in both of them with how they played on, what was that, Saturday or Sunday? Both, probably.
Both, yeah.
Saturday was miserable. They went literally from first to last in like three holes and they just never got it back. But hey, I'm not going to put a lot of weight on Zurich in either direction. He played well, whatever. I don't think Ryan Bram's the greatest golfer in the world all of a sudden, and I'm not going to knock Sahith and Will Zalatoris for missing the cup.
Yeah, that's fair. Here's a name I want to throw out at you, and I'm going to butcher it. It's my Japanese brother, Ryo Hishashunte.
That's one way to pronounce it.
I think that was pretty good.
I don't think it was, but that's okay. So actually, I had the Rick Rungood communities, it reaches all corners of the globe. So I had someone send me a voice note from Japan on how to pronounce this.
Wow.
Now, I cannot make those same noises, but it's something like Yo Hisatsune.
Yo Hisatsune.
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 They have a very silent R, and then it's like Hisatsune.
Man, if my grandma, aka Obachan, was listening to this, she would slap me silly right now.
Smack you right upside the head.
Yep. But yeah, I mean, all the talent in the world, obviously, coming over from the DP World Tour. It's been tough sledding after a decent start to the year. But I think if you want to jump back in on this guy, on Yo, we'll just call him Yo, I think this is the time to jump back in on him. Even though there's a lot of red, it's his tournament debut and all that, I think this type of field and this type of event is a good get right spot for him.
The real value is here in the 6K range, which has a ton of golfers in it. The high end, Cameron Champ, Chandler Phillips, Kevin Tway. The middle, that'll get you Ches Reavy, Carson Young, Martin Trainer. How could you not after what we saw last week? And then the bottom, the min price golfers. There is someone named Jared Jeter in this field. Do you think that he's related to Derek?
I'm going to say no.
Why? Why do you say that?
Jeter's not a very popular last name, actually. I'm going to say no, though.
I'm going to go no.
And do you have the answer?
just by profiling him, I'm going to say no. Where's Midland Country Club? That's in Texas. That's probably unlikely. Derek's from what? Like Michigan?
I think. Kalamazoo.
Yeah.
Wow.
Strong.
What a pool.
Strong. So he is $6,000 along with Sung Kang, along with Brant Snedeker, along with Blaine Hale, and a few other golfers. So this is where we get to throw darts, Patrick. Where would you like to throw first?
I got two.
Okay.
This guy has been in the final group in the final round of two PGA Tour events this year. Rick.
Hold on.
He is 42 years old. A journeyman. He once drove Uber Eats during during COVID-19. He is David Skins.
Nice.
Your 6K darling this week. It seems like when he plays well, he gets everything out of his game. And here's a little nugget for you, Rick. Mm-hmm. A couple years back, in his lone Byron Nelson start at TPC Craig Ranch, it doesn't look like a great result. I think it was like T34 or something. He opened up with rounds of 63 and 66, I want to say.
Yeah, he gained over 10 strokes to the field on Thursday and Friday alone.
And he on Saturday, sunk. Pressure got to him. He was a 40-year-old rookie at the time. Now he's a 42-year-old veteran. And so you add in that prior experience with what he has gained this year, a nice start at the Zurich, played in the final group in the final round with Scottie Scheffler. What?
I've heard of him.
Yeah, he did. And Steven Yeager. Played in the final group with Shane Lowry. What? And Austin Eckroat? Acquitted himself quite nicely. So if he gets it going, you bring in the old experience with the new experience. That's how you get magic.
Who was his partner last week? T11. Do you remember who his partner was? Callum Tarrant?
It was Radford alum legend Callum Tarrant.
Wow. Excellent. Okay, who's the other one?
Joe Highsmith.
Oh, Joe Highsmith.
Yeah, results are not great. He kind of just popped in my head because I remember the walk and talk during the Houston Open where he rinsed one in the water. when he was in contention. He played well in, I think, Puerto Rico. I just really like this guy's game. He's a rookie. The results haven't been great, but when he's played good golf, he's gotten a lot out of his game. So just talent play, really, on a young kid who was really good in the amateur aspect.
They when a golfer does a walk and talk and makes birdie, they remind you of it every 5 minutes because it's like, well, we didn't interrupt them, and look, more people should do this. They don't always mention when guy rinses it into the water.
Did you know Max Homa was the first player to do the walk and talk for CBS at the Farmers Insurance Open last year, and he won?
Yes.
Bet you didn't. We never talk about that.
Every single day it is mentioned.
My favorite this year has been Matt Wallace at the Mexico Open, though.
Matt Wallace is awesome. The other thing is, why is AirPod the best way to do it? Seems unreliable.
You think Zoom? Get them to carry an iPad?
Or someone could carry an iPad, or like, I don't know, about $1 billion worth of equipment at a golf tournament. We can't put a little magnetic mic on him and just like.
How come we can't hear, or how come we can hear, you know, Mark, Dottie, and Colt? Why don't they kind of just give them their mic and walk with them type of deal?
Okay, so that is how.
The DP
does it. It's literally a walk and talk with the on-course reporter.
I like that.
I like it too. It's much more reliable. You don't have to. Also, you know what I don't like while I'm moaning over here?
Let's do it.
They ask him 5 questions and it comes from 5 different people. And they're like, oh, hey, it's Ian. Now it's Trevor. Now it's whatever. Let Trevor or Mark or Dottie or whatever just deep dive. Don't give me 1 fluff question from 5 people.
I agree. And I think it should be someone like Mark who has been following them the whole round or something like that.
Yes. Hey, remember, you know, is this similar to that shot you had to hit on 7? Blah, blah, blah. Yes. Come on. What are we doing?
God, we are cooking with gas.
We are just solving all the world's problems right now. Okay, Patrick. Hat tip to you. Thank you, sir. That was pleasurable.
How would you rate me? 1 through 10. No, 7.
8.1.
I'll take it.
Oh, I think that's a great score.
I'll take it. Absolutely.
I think you were prepared. I think you were flexible. I think that you gave us a little bit of humor. You gave us a lot of knowledge. You threw a couple of nuggets in. You fixed the broadcast. You told a couple of stories. What else could I ask for, honestly?
I appreciate that. 8.1. I'm taking that to my grave.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Now, I'll be interested to see who your one and done selection is for this week, because remember, everyone, one and duns are back. And while you don't have to get your pick in on Tuesday, we will, because we'll be back on Tuesday for the Mega Preview Pod, where we'll give our best bets, which have not been good, our one and done selections. We'll talk storylines, and then we will have you covered after each and every round, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Patrick, is there anything that you would like to say before we sign off?
See you guys tomorrow. Rick, no longer in the basement. Let's keep the momentum rolling.
That's right. Seconds to the basement. I'm in assistant to the basement.
Sure.
Big thanks to producer Troy. He does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, Patrick McDonald. You can find him at PMcDonaldCBS, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
I told you imaginary friends are real.
This is just so exciting.
Now, get ready for the movie event with the greatest cast you've ever imagined.
Showtime.
Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski, Kaylee Fleming, Fiona Shaw, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, George Clooney, Maya Rudolph, Bradley Cooper, Sebastian Maniscalco, John Stewart, Sam Rockwell, Awkwafina, Keegan-Michael Key, and Steve Carell.
I need to throw up or I need a snack. It's one of the two.
Gross.
If, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. Written and directed by John Krasinski.